is a public service announcement. The episode that you are about to listen to is part of the annual Distraction Pieces podcast, Drunkcast. What is about to follow may be offensive, may be stupid, it's us getting drunk, and please forgive us if we say anything horrific. All right, on with the episode.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces podcast, episode 547. I'm not drunk now. This is recorded way after the drunk cast. This is episode 547. It's the drunk cast. It's part two. I'll keep it brief. Oh, hang on, buddy. Did I... Actually, leave this in, buddy. I've just realised I didn't mention my merch and everything in the last one. It's Christmas. I need your merch sales. SpeechDevelopmentRecords.com, Patreon.com/ScroobiusPip, Twitch.tv/ScroobiusPip. Yo, they're done. Let's get on with the drunk cast. This is episode two. If you've just tuned in, go back and listen to episode one. I think it's my favourite episode one of all the drunk casts. It's quite serious, but it's very honest. So yeah, go back and listen to episode one and then continue on with this mess. This is part two of the drunk cast 2023 with Chris and Stu. Let's go. You might save one for what?
Ron.
Who's Ron?
Later on.
Later on. Fucking hell. Can't believe that's how we're coming back into the podcast.
Oh, you recorded it.
Yeah. I missed you say I might save one for Ron. Listener, I've got some frosty French fancies. And Chris has just asked for one, so I passed one over. And then I offered Stu one. He said, I might save one for Ron. And then we started recording and he explained his wonderful terminology. Here we are. And we were talking about camper van trips. Mm. I'm sure we've told it on the drunk cast before. So most people probably didn't see that as the cliffhanger I made it out to be.
Yeah.
But it was when we were in Leeds, wasn't it? When we were living in my little van.
Yeah, we were living in your van. But every night, I don't know if we switched side, but it felt like I would be on the left and I'd wake up at like 5 a.m., 4 a.m. And my breath, there'd be like steam coming out of my breath. It was that cold. I'd be looking, and I'd be freezing with like my like super bag up to my eyes. And then I look over and Pip was just in his pants. Just lying there like sweaty.
I kicked my covers off. I always remember it because it was specifically in Leeds and it was when we parked next to a graveyard.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
And you were on the side of the graveyard.
Yeah.
And I was on the other side. I generally look around and in the night, without me waking up, and I'm a light sleeper, Chris had put all his clothes on, had his hood up, had a hat on, and was proper in his sleeping bag.
I've got a green Adidas cap on, you're right.
Yeah. And then he looked around at me and I'm there in my pants just going, all right, mate, morning.
That's what you gang-banged by ghosts. So you were like...
It was the ghosties.
Yeah, it was terrible. So, I don't know, if we did that, this back to the road trip question by Georgie, I'd be well up for it. Like, you know, same. Even if we can unpack a little tent and I'll sleep in a tent on the side of the road or wherever we go.
Could just go to like a campsite where they've got showers and stuff.
Some great ones in Wales, isn't there? Mm. All around Wales, there's these amazing campsites.
Got to sleep on the side of the road, Chris.
Oh, sorry.
But you do, you mate.
Yeah. Fill your boots. I might just go and have a shower somewhere. There's loads of graveyards.
Right, I'm going to head on to the campsite now, Chris. You good? I'll see you in the morning.
Well, I can't hear you. Yeah, wait for the lorries to go past it, don't we?
All right, no, text me, mate, text me. But yeah, I'd be well up for it. Again, the problem is, I know you're not going to want to take your van all the way to Scotland because it's not like a new van. Or, do you know what I mean? You might be concerned of it getting there. But
it 100% make it there. It's like it's a good van in regards to like the engine and that. But that's a big trip.
Yeah,
I mean, I know that we got home from Scotland in your car in about an hour and a half. Like, but I didn't take in any of scenery because I had my hands over my eyes for the entirety of the journey. But yeah, to go to Scotland to make it worth your while, it's
a week. You need a week, yeah. But there's so much up there, isn't there?
Oh, fucking
I've got yeah. Me and Gail were talking about it, actually. I was up at the Fringe and I bumped into Gail and she was saying I need to convince you to bring the van up to Scotland and we're going and find some lakes to jump in.
Yeah. I packed me little budgie smugglers, well, me shorts, for Jersey at the weekend. Going to go and have a little sea swim over there.
Yeah.
But
oh, we've not had a sea swim this year either, have we? Well, we did one at the start of the year prior to the last drunk cast.
Yeah,
that was the coldest swim we've ever had.
Too much, yeah.
Hurt my balls.
Yeah. You got out a little bit panicked.
Yeah, and like that was insane level cold. That right.
Yeah.
And I'd only a month before been jumping in fucking rivers in the Lake District in December.
Mm.
But that fuck me, that swim was unreal. There was something in the sea, I don't know what it was.
Hello.
That really made my balls tight.
That'll be me. Yeah, I've not done much this year. I did a few night swims.
Yeah.
I really enjoy that in the summer. I almost hit both. I think I asked you on one of them. I think I hit you up, but it's one of the things I miss from Margate massively is with the mercy of tides with Southend, because Margate has got the two seawater Lido
holes,
things.
Yeah,
so you can go at any time in the morning or night, whereas I had ages where I really fancied it and the tides just weren't matching up. And then when they hit, I had two nights in a row, I went and I just had a swim, and I normally do it kind of outside Chalkwell Station. And the first time I went up
that's
there,
like it's me sleeping in a lay-by. You should use the sea.
Yeah. No, it's a nice little bit, but it was so weird because I went to, and then I kind of thought, oh, no.
That's where we went, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I had the weirdest thing. I thought I'd have a bit of a walk first, and because that's the kind of area I went to school and that, I was walking along and I could smell some kids smoking shit weed.
Oh, right.
So like resin, like not. And again, you never think of that anymore.
No.
That way.
Children, lollipops.
No. But smoking shit resin, which again, I haven't thought about since school because everyone just has weed now as far as I'm concerned. But it was proper nostalgic. Yeah, exactly. It was proper that kind of dirty resin. And then, it was a full moon. And I just found a nice spot. I think that was it. The first time I had to walk along, there was a few too many people just milling about. And it feels kind of a bit weird to just go on.
Yeah.
Well, let's just go in for a swim at midnight or 11 o'clock or whatever. But then I had a bit of a walk and came
full
back.
Full moon at night, you taking your clothes off, mate, people are going to be very fucking scared of what you're going to... You ain't got far to go before you turn into a werewolf.
And I do the whole transformation. I really get my... I arch my shoulders and really go into it. But just floating in the sea at night where it's all just pitch black. And again, I have panics. I'll be really relaxed and then I'll go, I think there's something in this, like I think something will brush along my leg. Again, it won't even be that, but it'll be that kind of stupid thing. I'll be so relaxed and then my mind will just go to, I'm going to make a move now. I'm going to make a move. I don't know what's in here. But it's so peaceful because it feels like a sensory deprivation tank because when you... Because it's seawater, you can float that bit easier. And when you just go on your back, ears under, so you're losing all the sound, all you've got is the moon and everything is just dark. It's fucking
that's the best.
Beautiful. So we'll have to get some of that in when we go on our camp trip.
First trip I've done in the van, I went to Wales and had a three different river swims and it was, it's just fucking great.
We could do something like that. I don't need to be original. You know, like we could, if that's what we want to do, is something that sort of range. If we get in the river a few times, if we get in the river a few times, I'm really up for that. And then do an overnight camp, we get a barbecue going. And
if we're doing a night one, do you want us to pick you up on the way out from the campsite, Chris? Or do you want us to leave you to it?
Maybe meet us at the services. We probably ain't going to see you if there's no like lay-bys.
I've just realised I'd feel so uncomfortable knocking on Chris's tent. Of all the people I know, it's 10 to knock on.
Milk in
I've been caught masturbating more times than I can you've both phoned me while I've been wanking, just by the way.
What was it? I made a note of something that's kind of along those lines. Oh, that's it.
You got a minute.
The This is just a note I made. Yeah. What is the most awkward walk that you've ever done? Because I saw someone just, I think it was just a tweet that said, why is the walk back after you've bowled so awkward? It's so perfect, because it really is. Yeah. I don't know if there's a more awkward yeah. walk. And you know, you've not done anything wrong. Yeah. You're all doing it, but it's so weird and awkward.
Yeah. That's a great observation. I think the walk to the toilet during a film at the cinemas.
Oh, mate.
Yeah.
That's because you go with me and you know I'm staring daggers at you for getting up.
The weird thing is, mate, I'm well over it now. But even into my mid-20s, I felt very paranoid doing that. Well, now I find it liberating, because I'm like, as soon as I get remote thought of needing a wee, I'm like, I'm going, I'm not even worrying about it.
It gives a shit, yeah.
And it feels liberating.
And I see it every week if I'm DJing at the club. When people walk through the doors of a club and they have to walk across, if they're coming early, they have to walk across the dance floor
to go to the bar.
Yeah, 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 and just that walk across the dance floor, people are so self-conscious.
Yeah, for sure.
The best story I've ever heard about a walk going wrong, I don't know if you know this one, it's our friend Justin, Big Papa J. He walked down to the shops in Basildon on the Fellmore's estate, which is a very rough estate. And he was walking to the shop and he had a woolly hat on. And he said, literally, as he was getting around like by the shops, there was loads of kids being proper leery outside. So he said, I kind of sort of put my chest out a bit and tried to walk with a bit of swagger. And I thought, I'll pick out the biggest one. I'll eyeball him a bit just to let him know that, he ain't going to be fucking with me. And he said, and as I eyeballed him I walked under a tree and the branch just clipped the top of me out and it boinged off. And he said, I then had to jump up. And one of the kids come over and help me get my hat back out the tree.
Let's get your hat down, mate. A kid I went to school with got rinsed for this for years, so I'm not going to say his name, but he walked home from the shops. He'd got some music mags and stuff like that. He sat down and started reading them and realised he'd cycled to the shops. Went back, his bike had been nicked. He got destroyed for it. He just got excited about his magazines, was like having a look on the way home. So, like, oh, hang on.
That's a bad day.
My ex, she won the weakest link and also had her car nicked. And,
on the same day?
No, but she found.
This is two different dates she didn't turn up to.
Right.
Sorry, I won the weakest link. Sorry, I couldn't make it. Chris, one week is late.
So she was like smart, yeah. And then we went on another date. And she told me her car's been stolen. And then when I got off the station at Leyndon, about a week after that point, you know the Leyndon station, you'll know it, Pip, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, the little car park.
You know there's the row of shops and, and then the car park there.
Mm-hmm.
Her car was parked there. And her house was only about 20 metres from the station. So she'd lazily driven there one morning because it was cold.
And then forgot home and thought her car's...
No, but she'd reported it all stolen and all that.
And it was literally 20 metres away.
I found it. I said, okay, I found your car. She said, you're kidding. And then when I told her it was in the shops, I don't think it was worth it. I think she wished it was still stolen.
Yeah, I'd rather it was gone. It's
not coming back from that.
I had to dump her.
Yeah, that's brutal. Silver lining for her, at least.
Yeah. She's way too bright for you, mate.
She actually was.
I'm cracking open a monster.
Oh, hello. Oh,
it'll pick me up.
Well, I didn't sleep well last night. Because I had a load of podcasts and it's all been a bit...
You did a hotel last night?
I had a podcast last night and then a screening and then last minute a podcast came through this morning in London. It's with Joel Edgerton. I love it. I think he's a great actor. He's been on once before, weirdly.
That dude from Warrior?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And they'd given me, the thing that spun me out and kept me awake a bit was they'd given me 90 minutes, which is so rare on Press Junket. So I was like, oh, and he's been on before, weirdly, for 5 years ago to the day. So on this day, 5 years ago, we were in the same hotel doing a podcast. But yeah, it was an amazing episode in the end because, if you listen, it'll be out an episode or two after the drunk cast ends. Yeah. So it's one of the first of the year. It's the most researched and on it I've ever been. There's any direction he goes in, I'm like, of course you played this person in this light. It was such a it's such a nerd out smooth one in that respect. Beer, really good. He's a really good dude. It's just the friendliest guy. But because of that, I want to keep my energy up. Mm-hmm. And there's a thing I do on my streams. I do these TPI Friday streams.
What's that stand for again?
Thank Pippets Friday.
Unbelievable.
And it's always a community based stuff. It started.
It's not that community based, mate.
No, just,
I like to do a lot for my community. For firstly, getting them to name things after me.
So it started just watching Marble Olympics, which is one of the most amazing things you'll ever watch.
Marble.
There's this guy in the pandemic who started to make these marble run things,
and like he marbles.
Yeah, yeah. And he'd just done all these Olympics. I'll send you one. Your mind will be blown because it's the most. I thought, is this going to work on stream? It's the most I've ever had. Because you pick your team, each like there's different teams in it, and then there's all sorts of Olympic events of just marbles. It's hard to explain. But then when they ended, it changed into I do just different community games. So it'll be Fall Guys or PUBG. Like we do private lobbies on PUBG. So everyone in there is just us. And we're all kind of hunting each other. And it became a thing that because it's meant to be high energy stream, I drink a Monster at the start and get fucking wankered. And I swear Monsters affect me more than booze does. So
you're not really built for them, mate, really. You've always been quite a healthy lad.
I don't have caffeine, do I?
No, exactly.
I don't have tea or coffee.
I don't
have caffeine. I don't have tea or coffee. And you don't really have caffeine in your in your Pepsi Max and stuff like that these days. So... Right. Fucking hardwired.
I need to shit my pants today.
Oh, really?
Just to switch things out. I've been desperate to talk about it.
Actually shit your pants?
No, actually. I really miscalculated how badly I needed this poo. And I'd had a big takeaway last night.
What'd you have?
And I've got the bathroom being done, haven't I, right? And
there was
a guy plastering.
What did you have?
Oh, sorry, mate. I had a Coco de Mama.
Yes, I like a Coco de Mama, a pasta place.
I went a bit mad with it.
Did you get any of their desserts?
Yeah, I did.
I like their. Did you get the little Biscoff balls?
Yeah, and they gave me double accidentally. So obviously, didn't save anything. It just baked it all last night. And I was really busy today, and I'd planned my poo for 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Because I have to go to.
I saw your diary.
It's in there, right?
You've got two into this diary thing.
While I haven't got a bathroom,
where are you doing your whoopsies?
I've got Molly's. Two lovely good friends, right, who unfortunately have just split up, but they've got a place in Margate, right, and they've just had the bathroom done.
And the only time you go around them is to shit in their toilet.
And have a shower. Mm. But like last week, I did a bit of a paint job in the toilet, and it took me, I phoned Mark, literally as I flushed, I phoned Mark and said, that's the 13th flush. That's how much it was. Basically, last week it was like I'd emptied it just a pure bucket of clay into the toilet.
Amazing.
And I was like, why has that got happened in someone else's bathroom? You know, and it's a brand new one, like they've spent a fortune
bucket
on it.
Of clay. Right.
Did you ever meet my mate Rick?
Yeah, one.
Ricky, he's kind of an anomaly because he was me and Ian's like best mate growing up. Don't love him, hardly see each other, but he was literally like the third brother in our family. Yeah, so we'd go on little holidays or we'd come Millwall all the time. But it was in the days of you leave your front door unlocked. And I always remember the time that we were all just sitting watching TV. He walked in, went straight up to the toilet, went to the toilet, then walked straight back out again and went, see you later, and left. And it was just for like a 13-year-old to have that kind of comedy is just golden. He didn't say it, right. Just let himself in and use the toilet. That's what I'm imagining you with Molly's mates. Just, evening.
Oh, man, right, so...
It's 11 o'clock.
Yeah. So that was last week, and that was a bit of a nightmare. And so today, 2 days ago, they sent me a message going, we won't be back till Thursday. That might also be relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets to 11 o'clock when I plan to have this poo, but I'm busy with work, right? And
Have a shit.
I couldn't because I had to get this thing done. It was really urgent. But it was getting to the point where I was literally like biting my fucking fist.
In hindsight, can you remember what's more urgent in hindsight?
Yeah, I can now. I was sending this email I was biting my fist because I needed a shit that bad. Like, I was etch-a-sketching in my pants at this point. And I was like, I can just about get to their bathroom before shitting myself. And I went downstairs, and then the plumber who's in my bathroom had a few questions for me. By this point, my eyes are starting to water. I get in the car, and I'm at that point, I'm now 50-50. I'm like, well, I'm 43. At some point, I was going to shit myself, and I think it's today.
Yeah.
I drive to their house at breakneck speeds, cursing at traffic, and everything in me is holding this shit in. And I get to their front door, and I fucking go flying through their front door. And as I open the door, it hits something or someone, and they're already home. And they're painting their corridor. And like, you know, when there's like, I'm at the point where I can barely say a word because it is now, it's King Kong's finger. It is definitely working. There was no time to explain. And I haven't seen Abby since they split up. There's no way I could just go run upstairs. So I'm talking to Abby and I'm trying to feign care for the breakup because I do really care. Like, it's fucking shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
things happen.
It's fucking shit.
It is shit.
Poking out your ass right now.
After I managed to hold on to about 3 minutes, and I kind of said, look, Abby, I kind of need the bathroom. I didn't go into the full details. Flew up 3 flights of stairs, got on their toilet, played some music so she couldn't hear me in labour.
Why would you play music?
Because I just thought she doesn't need to hear someone drop a bleed breeze block down her brain.
No, that's so much weirder, though. Just suddenly music starts coming out. So what's he doing in there?
Well, people want to hear Mozart. And it was so painful, this poo. It kind of ripped.
I like to move it, move it. Whoop, there it is.
And this was really bad. I thought someone's going to need to stitch up my gooch after this. It was so bad.
Any volunteers?
And when I finished and I looked around, and I only got a bit of toilet roll on the go, and I looked around, this poo, it's like 6 inches out the toilet, out the wall.
You took a picture of it?
Yeah, I did. Do you want to see?
Yeah.
Because it was the morning still. Although the video doesn't capture it, the steam that was coming off his poo, it was like the poo was smoking. But annoyingly, the video doesn't show. And when I look back at the poo in this toilet doesn't look that big. But I mean, look.
It looks sentient.
That's down and around the U-bend. And that is like, look how far that is out of the toilet.
That looks like a snake.
How weird is it that it looks like it's coming out rather than going in?
Yeah.
What's that? That's 8 inches out of the toilet.
Right.
Here's the video. If you need to see. But I just thought, you don't run a marathon and don't get a photo at the end.
I'm going to go on a limb here and say that any listeners, if you want to see that picture and video, if you join the Hardcore Listing Patreon, that is exclusively where you can see
the footage
of Chris's shit.
Yeah, that was like, but that's when the panic started because, I didn't talk about the clay poo for just for the shits and gigs. Mm. Like, I was genuinely worried.
That ain't going anywhere with one flush.
No, and I thought, oh, I can't have this taking 13 flushes.
I love the literalness, though, of
someone's going to finish in a minute.
Of that's where the panic started.
Yeah.
After I've taken the photo and video, that's where the panic started. Once I've got the footage, I really started to panic.
Before you'd even panic, you sent that to Mark, right?
I didn't, for once. Right. He hasn't got it.
Wow.
I called him last week. This week, I was just like, I tell you why, Stu, because I was in panic mode at this point because Abby was in and I was like, what am I going to do? And I genuinely thought that I was going to have to throw that out of that it's 3 stories up and I was fully prepared. I was like, I'm going to do a provisional flush.
Yeah. What did that do?
I was worried, you know, I've had to use coat hangers in the past, all this other stuff, and I thought, I'm not doing that at someone's house. I'm on the third story, and their thing backs onto a garden. I was prepared to pick it up and just throw it out the window.
If you had to use a coat hanger, what song would you have gone for? How do you soundtrack that?
Yeah, break up stuff. one flush, and it went. It was a miracle. There are miracles at Christmas.
Ron's in. He's getting a French fancy.
But one flush. So panic was
one flush and gone.
House.
Beautiful. Oh, it's a good shape.
I could just shower myself down.
It's a good good shape for going down it, I guess.
Mate, yeah, you're right. Yeah. So that's my poo story, gang.
How many times have you shit yourself as a grown-up?
Once as a kid and half once as a grown-up. Me and Mark had gone to watch Monsters and I had a dicky tummy and I sat at the cinema screen with the only two people in the cinema and I naughtily had my feet up and I did a fart and it was a warm one. I thought, that's warm. Mm. And then literally an hour later I moved as we got up and I went, oh, it was a little bit of a dribbler. That's it.
Yep.
Once. Really, as a grown man.
I had this conversation, except in the 80s, after Cunt told his story about his uncle that pulled invisible guns from his pockets and said, go for your guns, and then farted.
Yes, he did.
So Cunt tried to do it when he was six to his elderly neighbour.
I
went, go for your guns. And he shit himself, and the neighbour had to take him back to his mum and say he had an accident.
Stu's the only person in the world who's got three podcasts that he might get asked, when have you ever shit yourself?
I've never shit myself. I'm not saying that to give it the big one.
Sounds like well,
I've wet myself plenty of times laughing.
Have you really?
Yeah.
You're getting to that age.
Yeah. No, I've wet myself a fair few times, like as a kid laughing my ass off. But I can't.
I've done that.
I don't think I've ever wet myself.
I've wet myself once, pooed myself once. One all at the moment.
You shit yourself?
Three times.
This week.
Wait, twice this year. But I think it's twice this year. It's twice within the last year or so. Always just kind of what Chris said, a fart that's then
misjudged.
Wet.
Yeah.
And it's like, right, I'll then go and clean up. But
no one needed that additional detail. No one assumed you just
let it'll deal with itself.
It feels like you didn't go and do that.
Let nature take its course. So the most recent one. You know about this actually, Stu. I was filming in Spain because I had to miss a Pod Bible meeting I was in Spain. Yeah, I was filming in Spain.
A bit of a runny tummy.
Well, I was out there and, you know, I'm not a big McDonald's guy. Like, I just don't like it. Oh, everyone assumes it's a moral choice. It's not. But...
Where are you going? Poo.
Oh, never wait before I wet myself.
He will wet himself. It's all right. He knows this story. So, friend of mine is a McDonald's fan. So they said, have a look on the delivery apps and see what they do, because the variation in menus around the world, you know, that fascinates me with like pizza places, the variation of what they do. And I looked and they did the fucking coolest looking stuff. They did this burger that was more
jalapenos kind of, covered in hot sauce.
Oh, no, it was more like... Like it was more of a flame grilled type thing. It was more Burger King-y, but it had like this cured ham on it and just all sorts of good stuff. This amazing rich barbecue sauce that's native to the area. And they did like these they did some Biscoff bites as desserts. They did these like macaroni cheese, like dipper type things. So I was like, right, I'm going to go and give it a go. So I walked all the way out to this McDonald's, ordered it, ate it. It was all right. It's better. It was arguably the best McDonald's I've had, but I'm not a big McDonald's fan.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I went home, slept, and the next day I had a flight to Cannes. And in the morning, I'd got dressed, got ready to go, about to leave, did myself a fart, shit my pants.
Oh, how bad?
Like, just a little spray.
Yeah.
But it was clay.
It was clay. The people that can't see this, you're demonstrating that with two hands. So,
I guess no. I'd say, like, say one hand. Right. It was spray. So I literally into the toilet. Mm-hmm. I whip my pants off to check. Because again, you're not sure at first and you're like, no, yep, I've shit my pants. I wipe clean, put them in the bin, put some clean pants on, I'm out the door, aware that I'm about to be on a flight. So if I shit myself again, I'm in trouble. Now, interestingly, the first time I shit my pants was the last time I'd had a McDonald's. And it was when I lived at my mum's and it was after a night out. I think maybe with you, Chris. I think it might have been a night out.
We were eating laxatives.
No, I think it might have been the night. Do you remember when I was throwing up out the window of a cab and it was pink? I think it might have been that night. And it must have been earlier than that then, because it wasn't after the club. No, maybe it was.
That was a club night, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was some, as I said, early years ago point. And on the way home, I'd got a load of McNuggets. Mm. And the next day, I was just lounging on my mum's sofa under a duvet, or watching TV. I did a fart, I shit my pants, I went and cleaned up. The other time in between that was either earlier this year or maybe end of last year, and I'd just got a rowing machine and I was really excited about it. Sam had been pushing me to get a rowing machine, my trainer who you've both met, I believe. We'd been pushing me to get a rowing machine. I've got this area outside that's kind of sheltered. I was like, if I get a good cover for it, I can keep it outside and I've got room. I never had one because they take up a whole load of space. So I got this rowing machine. I found a guy to collect it from in like Romford or somewhere, and I had to go down to fucking cram it into my car, all this kind of thing, all really excited.
Shit your pants at his.
You know.
Find it out.
No, I got it home the first time I used it. I was so excited. I go on it. And I'd forgotten that I'd had a bit of maybe food poisoning the day before. I'd had a bit of a dicky tummy the day before, but I'm excited. I've got this next time fucking smashing away on it. And then I fart, shit my pants, up and out. I rush upstairs. And still, every time I use it, this sounds so dumb, but I get a bit of a dicky tummy. Yeah. That is akin to seasickness. And I swear I get seasick on a rowing machine.
Fuck off.
I genuinely do every time I use it. And it's the movements, it's the back and forth, because it is this whole, it's such an unusual but rhythmic movement.
Yeah.
That I start and I'm fine, but almost every time my stomach starts to turn. I have to be careful of what I've eaten before if I go on it.
The length he goes through to fucking try and work out why he's shit himself.
Yeah.
I'm getting seasick.
How many people listening to this would like to give Pip like a whole, like a Big Mac meal? And then make him do a sponsored row.
Yeah.
If he shits himself.
I'd shit everywhere.
Double our payment.
Yeah, I'd make an absolute mess. But anyway, I can't remember how we got onto this.
I don't know. Because once you've done it, it's hard. You don't want people to be like, oh, I've never shit myself. So I guess that's what it is with Stu. I'm just jealous that I've not. I always thought I'd keep a clean sheet. But it's not.
My mate Nick was the one in our gang that shit himself
Nick's
a lot.
Grotty for shitting,
like he,
he's got a lot of work with Pooney.
Really. Yeah, yeah. He
has he.
Oh yeah.
Well, he. I remember when we were young, he would smoke weed in his bedroom. And what he would do, he would get up on the windowsill and sort of like squat with the little window open and just sort of have his spliff out the window. And he was doing it in his boxer shorts and he farted and he was like, oh, shit. Because he felt shit himself. Mm. So he grabbed his boxers, jumped down, walked to the bathroom, sort of shook it all out and there was nothing there. I was like, oh, result. Walked back into his bedroom and just trotting barefoot straight in his own shit. It had fallen straight out. But yeah, he had gastroenteritis. And I think like he said he was just sitting there watching telly and like twice he'd shit himself and then was like, right, I'm going to go and get changed. And in the end he said, I'm just sitting out now and just shit myself and just stay, shit myself again.
This fucking cunt, he makes us laugh at the guy and then tells us of the medical condition. He's sitting laughing, right. So anyway, I had gastroenteritis and really serious actually, so you're all cunts really for having a laugh at that.
Do you remember? Keep him from sitting through shitting himself and not getting up.
He was just quite happy, he was always comfortable.
That's weird, I thought Sick Boy was in the room for a second then. I've not seen Chris since he bleached his hair, I don't think. No, I don't think so. I've seen it in pictures. Was it in Blonde on your birthday?
I think so.
Yeah, he was.
It's grown out. It
looks good.
That shit, it's at the shit length now. Like, I'll have one more cut and it'll look even worse. I say even worse. I love it. I've never been so happy with my hair.
Yeah, I feel it's really good.
Absolutely love it. And I'm thinking of probably getting hair transplant at some point because I love it so much. Like, I was quite happy to just probably maybe shave it off when I went bald, but I like my hair bleach blonde so much, that's a reason to keep it. So I'm well fucking, well over the moon with it. I ain't going to lie. Fucking shout out to my man, Chris. He's a great hairdresser down in Margate. Marcella, if you're down in Margate. So I referred you, get, what was it, 50% off, Chris?
I told Chris when he was thinking of having that done, I was going to bleach my hair, was my next move. I was really excited about it. I spoke to Wes about it. Heartbreak Barber, shout out. 10% off of you.
100% off.
And then you bleach yours. Right. And I was like, all right, I'm not going to now. I feel like a fucking prick. Like, I wanted to go grey. I'd spoken to him about going for grey.
Grey,
and you did that. You? Yeah. So I went for a mullet instead because I fancied a change. It's the first time I've had a mullet in a while. I've got my locks at the back. Yeah. Enjoying it. Yeah. Where was I going to go on to next? We've got through the poo.
Yes.
Oh, I was going to say, again, I'm sure we tell it every drunk cast. Do you remember our other mate, Stu's shit story? He's walking to mine from Landen and he was going over the hills and he needed a shit badly. So he went in the woods, in the trees. He pulled his trousers and pants down. He did a shit. It popped out his arse and landed in his pants.
That's our other mate, Tom, did that. And he did it after night out. We went to a house party.
Tom Coles?
No.
Another Tom. And we're not full naming people, so we can put out of him. This isn't hardcore listing where you go, there was this one girl I went to school with, then you give her a full name and tell awful stories.
It's not that Tom, it's the other one. Bowers.
Carl Bowers. Yeah.
And he had a history of needing the poo till late. A bit like what I didn't learn today. And he went to a house party. We will talk about other things. He went to a house party. Got out to our house party at 6 a.m. Couldn't hail a cab for the life of him. Fucking was running around the streets of fucking North London. Saw a little art tray. He, by the way, was wearing white jeans. Squat down, had a really messy poo. Looked down and he just done it straight into his jeans.
Of course he fucking did.
Can you imagine how frustrated you'd be?
You're in a situation at that point, aren't you?
Fucking, there's no way out of that other than raw embarrassment.
Yeah.
Now, doing it at home, in the comfort of your own home on your own rowing machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that bad. Doing it in a cinema where there's no one else other than your mate.
Yeah.
Okay, not that embarrassing. Doing it in an art tray, just as the world is coming to life in London and you're wearing white jeans.
My mate had white trousers on, like white chinos, and he was in a relationship with a girl that we all know that worked at Lizards. And
tried to narrow it down.
And
first name began with an S?
Like, no. And she told me it when she started working for us. I was like, oh my God, that was you. And she was having it off with me, mate, and broke, and he snapped his banjo. Yeah. And then about 3 weeks later, he had his white trousers on, like his white shirt. Look, you had to wear trousers to get into a club then. And he was in Pizzazz having a little slow dance at the end of the night when they played the little erection section. Got the erection.
Reopened it.
It went again, and literally on the middle of the dance floor in Pizzazz, just literally... Did a full carry, yeah.
Jesus.
That's the situation.
That is a situation. Yeah.
So the first episode was just all us crying about our shit years and the second episode has mainly been shit.
Yeah.
Literally talking about shit.
Shitting over the years.
Or kind of speaking of erections then, I had a thing this year that really made me realise...
really made me hard.
I had a few things. I had a thing this year that really made me realise my age because, as I said, I had my first, like I did my back. I did my back in, and that annoyed me because I did it twice.
Yeah.
So I did my back in. I was like, well, that happens. I was exercising, it happened. And then I had this flu, and then I kind of, as I got out of the flu, I forgot I'd had a bad back. So first exercise back, I did my back again, and I felt like a proper old man. So I booked a sports massage in this place in Stamford that's like...
Up the road from you?
It's kind of up the road. It's on Corringham Road.
Oh, it's so not it's, on your road. So you've got one on your road.
No, it's a really new one. And again, I think it's... I got a sports massage. It was a mix between a Thai massage and a sports massage. Because at one point, she's kneeling on my calves and pulling my arms back like I'm a bow and just doing all this mad stuff. It was really good. I thought it was great. I really rate them. But it really made me realise how I've aged. Because the last time I had a sports massage, it was because I had back... I had spine problems because, weirdly, it was because of running from school to the train station with my books and everything on my back. So because every day we'd rush to get out of train. So running in school shoes on concrete with a heavy bag of books, it was just fucking up my spine. And I remember going to that one as a teen and being really nervous about getting a hard on.
Mm.
I went to this one as a 42-year-old man, really nervous about farting. And it was such an illustration of the distance. I had no fear. And she was really getting into my thighs and all sorts. Like, not a problem. But the fear of farting during the massage just had me terrified. I didn't, thankfully. It all went well. Mm. But it really made me realise the difference in your priorities and functions as you get older.
Mine just presents itself in algorithms now. Mm. Like, I'll open my social media, and as I scroll down, it's generally Neil Razor Ruddock who just go, "Dads, stop scrolling. Are you over 50? Are you out of shape? You need life insurance." And I just think, I do not want a lesson from Neil Razor Ruddock.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also...
sign up now and get your free erection pills.
Oh, multiple erectile dysfunction posts. Multiple.
Yeah. Molly gets, like, Warhammer adverts now.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Hold on, hang on. Stu, I'm going to show you something here. I'm barely on socials now, Chris. Are you aware?
No. Well, how if I don't go on social, how would I be aware that you've seen the light?
Well, again, I kind of... It was one of them that... It was a thing that we're... Like when I was in a particular shit time earlier in the year, I was kind of off because I just needed to be. Yeah. And then it was one of them. It's like, choose what you bring back into your life. Yeah, and I kind of... just kind of sat there and went, I don't really want that anymore. So I do Instagram stories every now and then. If there's an important work thing, I'll do a post. Exactly. But I mean, I'm barely on. But Stu, here's a picture of me and my brother with Neil Razor Ruddock.
I mean, he looks great there. He don't look great when he's telling me that he relates to me.
Get us as little youngsters.
Older he is than you in that photo.
It's Teddy Sheringham.
Wow. Love that.
Sorry, just going through my old Millwall pictures.
Did you bring those, what are those Lindas for? We've got...
yeah, you can have them. I robbed them from my...
well, now I'm going to have more than one then.
My hotel room. Makes me feel great. This hotel room, it was a cross between a hotel and an Airbnb, and it had a kitchen and everything. Oh. And in the fridge, there was a bottle of champagne and a packet of Lindors.
I thought you were going
I had really full bags. I was like, I can only fit one. So I left the champagne and took the chocolate. I was like, fucking, I'll have that.
Absolutely.
I don't mind.
Do you remember when I ended up having to pay about 180 quid for that jacuzzi I clogged up?
Yeah.
And they thought I'd shitted it. It was because we knocked the truffles in there. And I had to keep explaining to him. Oh, I've got some other interesting information for you guys.
Right.
I've had to over-explain myself this year.
Mm-hmm.
But that one was, I'd hired this place in Wales for me and my partner at the time. Went down there, and about midnight, we decided to get in the jacuzzi with the champagne and truffles that they'd left for us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were a bit drunk, got carried away, and we knocked all the truffles into the jacuzzi, and we didn't know we had. And in the morning...
Dirty protest.
In the morning, I found the jacuzzi, and it was just bubbling brown water.
That's
the grossest. Yeah, it was gross. And I covered it up, and I said to the guy straight away, I'd also hustled him really well on how much I got this cottage for. I'd really done a number on him, mm-hmm. really politely. But as soon as he knew he had me by the short and curlies, because I took him out to the jacuzzi and I showed him, and I was like, "We knocked the truffles in." And he went, "Yeah, no, truffles or, you know, whatever it is." And I was like,
"Truffles or whatever it is."
Truffles, and he was like, "Yeah, yeah, whatever it is." I was like, "Drink some of the water." He didn't, obviously.
You should have drunk some to prove it. Like, look, it's fine.
Like, he's like, "I'll let you know."
It's truffles.
He started throwing up. He said he'll let me know how much the bill was, and then like a couple of days later, he's like, "Yeah, they came and they had to change all the filters." It cost me a fortune. And it basically meant I got the place at no discount.
Oh, shit.
Convenient.
So what have you recently had to over-explain?
I had to over-explain. It was, you know, we said the little question about fun, like walks. What's the most awkward mm-hmm. walk? Well, you know, like mum's care home workers have seen my penis twice now. Right.
Yeah.
So it was very similar setup. I think they wait outside my mum's room until yeah. I go to the toilet.
Yeah.
Because 2 weekends ago...
Well, word has got round, isn't it? It's like when people used to... If word got round that John Merrick was staying somewhere, everyone would hang around outside to try and catch a glimpse of the horror.
Absolutely. Well, that is it. Me and my destroyed part. How my mum's room is set up is the toilet door faces the entrance door, but if you close it, it wouldn't. But often when me and mum watching a movie and I don't want to stop the film, so I just run in there, I make sure that the toilet door blocks my mum's view of me having a pee, but it doesn't block the entrance door. And two times carers have walked in just while I'm taking a slash. But I kind of wish that had happened this time, because what happened this time was I came out the toilet and I was walking back to sit down by my mum. And at that point, as I'm zipping up my flies facing my mum about 3 foot from her head, the camera walks in and I'm doing up my flies like as if I'm exposing myself to my mum. And it was so awkward that I had to explain to my mum, knowing that I was doing it for this carer's behalf. I was like, well, I've had a wee, we'll carry on watching the film. I never felt so guilty, although I'd done nothing wrong. I think the only thing that makes you look like I wasn't getting my mum to obviously chew me off is, God bless her, I brought cake. And she had cake in both hands and in her mouth. At the point
that is what you're into, though, isn't it? You told me this on the phone. You told me this on the phone. I rung up and the carer said they overheard you say, you definitely don't know where I am, do you? To your mum.
That's it. Put that in the cake.
Shane McGowan's died. Mm. That's sad, isn't it? Yeah. He's a legend. I think he's the only, like, what was he, 63 or something, I think. Wow. He was.
I think maybe a little older.
65. I think it was around, it was in the 60s. Only person to die in the 60s and no one going, oh, it's so young. It's like, it's pretty fucking good for Shane McGowan. If you've lived like Shane McGowan, that's a...
I watched a programme.
It's a hell of an age.
I think it was Rapido or something like that. Right,
back in the day.
Way back in the day, yeah. Jenny Powell. And,
is it about R. Kelly?
And I mean, this was late 80s. And I know he was saying then, like, they were saying, like, one more, you know, you keep drinking, you ain't going to make another year. And if you watch the is it a
Crock of Gold?
Crock of Gold.
Crock of Gold. Oh, we talked about it on here.
Years ago, yeah.
It was, I think it was last year, maybe, because I only watched it in the last year or so.
I watched it again a couple of days ago.
It's really good, isn't it?
Because I'd watched, like, Molly said, do you want to watch it? This was, like, no more than 2 weeks ago. Since being with Molly, I started listening to more of the Pogues because...
Well, she's a big
Irish
fan, isn't she?
Yeah, she's Irish, so she's got a lot of their vinyl that's her dad, so it's all the originals. And she'd put it on and I'd be like, fucking hell, these are great. Like, I did only used to know them for things like Fairy Tale New York, but then you listen to it and you're like, he's a fucking amazing, amazing songwriter. Like, some of the stuff You're the Measure of My Dreams is a line that I just think is beyond poetic. And so then we watched a documentary and just found out so much more about his life. His first drink was at six. He was drinking pints from six. I mean, you know, that's he was just happier with alcohol. And, it's obviously made his life end a lot earlier. But that guy lived a very... He was, you know, we talk about this with Tom and mental on the Proper Mental podcast. You know, he's congruent with his values. He lived a very authentic life, and that might have meant that he didn't live as long as some other people do. Is it right? Is it wrong? Would he prefer to live longer? Did it rob him of his ability to continue to write incredible songs? Maybe all of that, but maybe also the reason why he was such a powerful songwriter was that authenticity and desire to lust for life. Really fascinating guy. Fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. And they said, insane life. Like, when you hear the stories of him and his mates stumbling upon, like, dead bodies and that, on that, where they were all put into that hill kind of thing and all just... Yeah. Just covered over after all of the death and past, and then his time in, like when he arrived in London, and again, all of that's in the songs. Mm. And
yeah, it's so good though, because it's in there.
Trying to think of the song that I love of his. I've talked to you about it before, but I've drawn a blank on the names. What name a couple
fast
of
fast or slow?
Slow.
Pair of Brown Eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pair of Brown Eyes is just astounding, isn't it?
Yeah. On Summer of the Evening Drunk to Hell, what's that? And why it's lifeless. Wow. My Philomena sang When My Elusive Dreams. Oh, it's fucking beautiful, that song.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that's my favourite.
Yeah.
Like,
it's beautiful. Really powerful song. Have we got any TV or film things we'd like to speak about? Like, we're at 50 minutes, mm-hmm. so we're going to wrap this episode up. In the next episode, I want to start with talking about morals in podcasting. Because I think it's an interesting subject. It's been on my mind a bit.
Show me what you got.
Of late.
For TV.
For TV. I've got so many. Something.
I've got one good and one disappointment.
Okay.
So, Time with Jodie Whittaker.
Yep.
Bella
Ramsey.
And Bella Ramsey. Fucking hell.
She's great, isn't she?
Yeah, incredible performance. And yeah. I watched the one with Stevie Graham and uh-huh. and
Sean Bean. His
name? Sean Bean. And I thought it was all right.
Sean Bean.
But this, I'm as much as
Sean Bean,
I fucking love Jodie Whittaker. I think she's fucking incredible.
Completely agree. Just
and it was just fantastic.
I'm excited about her new one with Hardy.
Yeah.
So it's her, Hardy, and the lad who played Elvis, all like bikers.
Oh, right.
In Chicago. Austin
Powers.
Allegro. Is it Austin Hubbard? Is that a fighter? Not, who's that? Who's Austin Hubbard?
I don't know.
Stone Cold, Steve Austin. It's Austin something.
And the one I want to say was disappointing. I was disappointed in Top Boy.
Really? I loved it.
I
loved it.
Weirdly, I've got to say, Stu, I think the season before it was so strong. Good. And I think that's the curse of when you have such a solid season, that this season, I quite liked it.
Yeah, I didn't dislike it.
Barry Keoghan in it and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
he was amazing. But
there were elements of it where I was like,
I thought the payoff of him and Ashley Waters kind of having their moment, and the genius of the writing of them being the way they wrote it, so they can't actually see each other, having to have this conflict of conversation, and then the moment, again, spoilers, I guess, the moment he stops getting a response. And then the fact he has to go and deal with this huge thing, but then do the functionality of climb over a fence in silence, and the brief look before he dropped. I thought all of that was just amazing. And again, I think Kano is going to get overlooked again for awards, and it's mad that Top Boy could end and he's not going to win BAFTA. Because I think his performance in particular is just astounding. And up until this point, I've just watched his new film, The Kitchen. I've got a preview of it. Oh. It's really good. It's really good. It's on Netflix in January. But yeah, I just think he's astounding. I think he's such a good actor.
As soon as, like, it was good in the first two seasons, but the one, that episode when the house gets burnt down and he's outside it, at that point I was like, he's not dialing this in. This is a guy who's really a great actor. I completely agree. I think there was just a few things in terms of plot moving on that I was kind of like, that don't make so... Like, two of the main protagonists... Well, I don't know if you can call them protagonists, but they make decisions that I was just like, it's to push the story in a certain direction, but I felt it was slightly outside their character behaviour. But other than that, yeah, that scene in particular and the metaphors of them being both the other side of the fence, couldn't see each other, I thought was really good.
Have you seen Kin? I've put loads of stars by it here because it's on BBC iPlayer. It's an Irish gangster show. And I've not seen anyone talking about it. The casting director, a load of the people in it I'm a fan of, and the casting director I chat to a bit, cast really good stuff. She cast The Banshees of Inisherin. So it's like, it's really good Irish stuff. And it came out in Ireland a while back. So I've been waiting for it to come out over here. And I just smashed through the first series and it's just so good. Yeah, I really rate it.
I watched one and I've not carried on. It didn't pull me in straight away. Yeah. And I was too preoccupied watching The Met on BBC, which is just a police fly on the wall thing, which is really fucking good.
My comedy moment of the year was you two with Cunt on your podcast. Was it this year? Yeah, it must have been. It was around the coronation. It was when he had another song that's against, and you're literally, you say the words like, yeah, all these fucking flag shaggers, blah, 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 blah. It's all bullshit. And then an advert comes in, it goes, you could join the Met Police and change your life. And I sent a little video of it, and I know that cunt didn't press play because he just smashed back going, oh, thanks, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm like, no, yeah. This was the comedy bit. The fact was literally after you'd both been being so anti the man, and then an advert comes in going, it's your chance to change your life. Join the Met Police today.
Oh, fantastic.
Brilliant. Chris?
TV shows I have got down here. I thought they're both the two of the ones that are fictional are one's loosely based on the person is Dave the rapper.
Mm-hmm.
I've quite enjoyed that.
I watched the first series and loved it. I've not continued. Yeah, on the third series now,
yeah,
is
I
it not?
I think so. Yeah, we just finished season two. Really like it. Very humorous. There's been some sort of like controversy over whether or not he's nicked some jokes off Theo Von, but I'm not complete. I've seen that, and I've seen when Theo said it, and I'm not 100% sure on that. Yeah. I think he's way more talented than just nicking a few jokes off Theo Von.
Yeah, I love
Theo Von. And I really recommend it. It's about a Jewish rapper who's got two pee holes and very funny, great, good rapper, but just really great understanding of how to develop characters in that. Champion, I thought, was really good. I think that's on the
Champion.
BBC.
Champion, I didn't catch Champion. What is it?
Like, what stand out about it? Because Molly wanted to watch it, and I generally thought this is going to be some UK Amdram load of bullshit. It's about a family. It's around the grime scene, but like a family based in the grime scene.
I know it.
The songs in it, though, it is so well done. It's not shit at all. Like by about like first two episodes, I was kind of like, and then it got me, and it was superb. But then two game shows,
okay,
two ones that I've only literally watched in the last month, which is 007 Road to a Million,
right, on Prime with Brian Cox. Yeah. Not watched it at all.
Would you believe? I think that was interesting. So basically, it's two people get paired up, whether or not they're, you know, husband or partners or mother and daughter or whatever. And they are going all around the world, and they have to do some sort of physical thing to find the question that's normally buried in, sit in a grave, or they've got to dive for it or go across a train for it, all these other things. And then they have to answer like a general knowledge question, which they start easy and then they get kind of like, it's kind of like, you know, fucking hell, if you don't know it, it's potluck. I guess that's kind of obvious. But they've shot it like a James Bond film, and it just looks like the experience is just looks
it's
really
all part
fun.
Because Prime have bought, or Amazon have bought the Bond franchise, haven't they? So it's part of that, like, you know how Disney get Marvel or Star Wars and then just do loads of spin-off stuff. It's the first thing they've done that's kind of a Bond spin-off, but it's a reality thing.
Yeah,
from the looks of it, it's done really,
prizes,
really well.
Like, you know, the money everyone's coming at. Like I won't say in case you're watching, but people earn a lot of money out of it.
Interesting.
It looks fun. But then I've been watching Squid Game The Challenge as well.
Not been watching it at all. I loved the show.
Loved the show, because the weird thing was, I think that came out this year as well. I don't think we mentioned it at the start of the year.
Yeah, maybe.
So... And I nearly, I saw them auditioning, and I was really tempted to sling in on an audition to do the challenge. So it's basically Squid Game, but you're going to go and do it for 4.6 million. And obviously watching human beings, like it's unscripted, and just watching the psychology of people, like pack mentality, and it's really good. It's fascinating. But I've heard that a lot of the contestants are suing for injuries.
Yeah, I've heard there's people suing for injuries. I've been torn on if that's a marketing thing, because I think it's really good to get people to watch because of Squid Game, because of what it is. But then you might go, it's a fucking TV show. What's the point? The thing that I've heard negative about it, and this is just from a few people who started watching it, was the amount of sob stories on it. And not in a, I don't want sob stories, just in a, so many people on there going, I can't afford, like, I'm skint, I can't afford to pay my bills. And that's what was horrific about the actual TV show. Mm. That's not meant to be reality. You're not actually meant to be getting people who are on the fucking poverty line that are there to try and pay their bills rather than...
I would say this, watch it and then you tell me if you think everyone on that's on the poverty line.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, yeah, I said it was just literally some people who started it and was like, oh, these, this is a bit much for, and again, you get...
I don't agree.
That's fair, that's fair. I've got two recommendations specifically for Chris. So when Molly's gone to bed early and you don't want to play a computer game.
Yeah.
So Vinland Saga. It's an anime on Netflix that I think is fantastic. I watched the first series all while I was in Spain, actually. And it was just, it blew me away. I had loads of travels. So I downloaded a load of it on, because where we were filming was proper remote. So you're flying in and then you've got this long van journey. Yeah, just really good Viking thing. And it's just, yeah, it's fantastic.
It's manga, isn't it? Anime, sorry.
Yeah, it's anime. And then the other one, harder to find. So you've got to torrent it or whatever because it isn't out over here. And you know I'm not someone for doing that, but I'd had such high recommendations. Scavenger's Reign.
It's
on Max in America. So it's part of HBO, but Max isn't even HBO Max. So it's its own standalone thing that's only on Prime out there. It's really odd. But I think it's the best depiction I've ever seen of life on another planet. It's a sci-fi thing, and it's these space... It's cartoon. I don't think it's anime. I think it's American made. Yeah. So it's... but this... space crew have crashed on an alien planet, and just the depiction of life forms and that, it's like, it's been described in a lot of things that it's like watching a David Attenborough documentary, but it happens to be on a planet other than Earth. And it's like all the way they tell all of these things and the way they act. Scavenger's Reign. It blew me away. I binged, it's like 12 episodes, but they're like 20, 25 minutes each. So it's only a 4 or 5 hour watch, but... yeah, really good, and just hoping that it comes out over at some point, or there's more series. The other one, have you watched Gen V?
Yeah, well, me and Mum started watching it, and the point where there was a girl riding a giant cock, it was kind of difficult to, concentrate.
It's a new series on Pornhub that it's not. It's the boys' spin-off.
Seems decent.
Really enjoyed it. I when it came out, I hadn't heard much about it, so I thought, it must be shit. That's kind of the default now. If there's not an article saying it's the best TV show ever, it must be shit. It's such a weird thing how we are with TV. And I will say, we've had Succession, The Last of Us, The Bear, and Barry all this year, which I all think were near perfect
the
TV. I think they're all amazing. But, you know, it does...
Bear, fuck, how have we not spoke about that?
I love it. I think it's amazing. But again, it's
that's
one...
probably my favourite show of the year.
Yeah. I'd say it's probably mine as well. Scavenger Reign gives it a run.
You can't copy.
Oh, can I not?
No.
All right, I'll go for... No, yeah, but Gen V, it's a spin-off. Did you watch The Boys?
Yeah.
You did,
didn't
you? Then you enjoyed it. Oh, you liked the comics, didn't you? Did you say you liked the comics?
Yeah, I've got the Boys comic. I don't know if there's loads of them, but I've got
there's loads.
Yeah, I've got the first one.
Yeah.
Where it all kicks off.
Yeah, where it all begins.
And that's what the show was, that comic.
Yeah. Gen V, really good. Really recommend it. I like Fall of the House of Usher as well.
Yeah, just...
it's a bit of you, Chris.
Yeah, I can't wait.
There's a show I'm not seeing many people talk about called Culprits on Disney that's like a heist thing.
Yeah.
Really good fun. Yeah. Really.
I've seen that advertised.
Yeah, it's really good. It's visually really good. All the cast are really good. The story's really good. It's one of them shows that it's not The Bear or Succession or whatever else, but not everything has to be. Again, I've got this kind of bee in my bonnet now of how every film even has to be the best film of all time. Or like the recent Scorsese film, Killers of the Flower Moon. Everyone was like, it's a modern masterpiece. It's the best thing he's ever done. I went and saw it. I really enjoyed it, but I got less out of it because everyone was like, it's the best thing ever. Yeah. And for me, it wasn't.
It has to be pushed to that extreme.
Yeah, it's fucking annoying. But yeah, I love that. So yeah, loads of good stuff. And Taskmaster. I know neither of you watch Taskmaster. I think you'd both adore it if you watched the full series.
It frustrates me.
Does it frustrate you?
Yeah, it really frustrates me because I always think they're not doing it as well as me.
There's a guy in it this year called Sam Campbell who I'll send you and Mark the link to his stand-up. What's it called? He's got a particular stand-up on YouTube that's all in a circle because he's pretending a hitman is trying to kill him. So the whole thing is through a scope. and you two would love him. I think you probably would as well, Stu, but he's not a miserable old man, so you might not. But honestly, I'd never heard of him. He's Australian, lad. He's in with all the Auntie Donnie lads, so he's down with all of them. I'd never heard of him, and he has just been a revelation. Every podcast I've heard him on has been the best podcast of the year. His stand-up, as I said, was astounding. Yeah, it's good shit.
Shout-out for season 3 of Tim Robbins. I think you should leave as well.
Yeah, that was amazing.
God, oh, it's so
good. The Smoking Crooner, was that guy's name? It's so good. Have you ever watched that?
No.
It's young people stuff. Let's end this episode, and we will be back. We're going to start the next one with some favourite podcasts, either that you've listened to or that you've recorded yourself. But we'll kick things off with morals in podcasting.
We've got to do the Dartford story.
Of course. Or someone asked for that. Like one of the... We've forgotten socials again. But yeah, someone's asked for that. So we'll do the Dartford story. Yeah.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There you go. That was part two. The wheels are starting to come off a bit. I mean, the wheels were coming off at the start because we were all... In the first episode, you'd be surprised how kind of watery-eyed me and Stu were getting. You wouldn't be surprised because I talked about how we cry all the time. Anyway, why am I rambling at the end of this? I'll see you for the next episode. There's 5 parts. This is just the second. Let's go.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.